Happy Tuesday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, the post-Carolina edition. Sage Wisdom is here. That's Mr. Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper is here, as always. And Mr. Kaufman, presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Hey, Ira, look, Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, this is it, man. It's the last chance sale. Get their absolute best offers of the year. You waited for the season's best lease offers. You waited for 0%. Now, don't wait any longer. It's the last chance sale at Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Get to edmorescadillacbrandon.com. That's where you get it started, or you head down there on Causeway Boulevard.
We're turning the calendar to 2018.
It's a big time to go car shopping right after Christmas, but you can start now at edmorescadillacbrandon.com and at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Don't miss it. It's the last chance to save there as well. General Manager Brian Danahy, our friend, he's got the season's best offers. Lease 2018 XT5s for only $319 a month with zero down, or get 0% financing 60 months. Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, edmorescadillactampa.com. Shop all of their year-end clearance offers. And, of course, this expires at the end of the month, the end of the year. And see the dealer for all the details, Ira. Exciting times to have a Cadillac, because you know what? You don't have a Cadillac football team, you might as well have the actual Cadillac vehicle. Great hearing those offers, Ira. The year end is here. Everyone's hustling over to Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. And you, Mr. Sage, you are hustling to anoint Derek Brooks as the next king of the Buccaneers. Your column rattled a lot of cages on Christmas Day, Ira, calling for Derek Brooks to be hired immediately. And you had some harsh words, some harsh assessments for the Bucs organization in there. Called them the blind leading the blind, if I'm correct. What say you, Mr. Sage?
Facts are facts, gentlemen. That's what I say. You know, in compiling the list of teams with the longest playoff droughts, guys, the Bucs are sliding even further and further down that list. And by that I mean, I believe the Jaguars might have had a longer drought. They're going to be in the playoffs. There's a decent chance the Bills are going to make the playoffs. I think they have the number one drought. It might be 17 years for Buffalo. So let's get a little perspective on what's going on here, guys. They haven't won a playoff game since the Super Bowl. They haven't made the playoffs since Gruden's penultimate season. This is a franchise in chaos right now. I don't think that's too strong a word. And Derek Brooks is the Cadillac of Tampa Bay icons, Mr. Isbitz. Class personified, arguably the greatest player in Buck history, and I think an instant dose of credibility, Steve, to a franchise that reeks of instability, might have another coaching change this year, and just lurching from one season to another. I say get Brooks aboard, get him in the building, Steve. I think he'd be an invaluable resource as he learns the inner workings of NFL front offices. And I think he can help the Bucs in a myriad of areas. And believe me, I've been around Brooks with some young players from other teams, star players. Lee, perhaps you have seen that too. And he's going to be, I think, a Pro Bowl chaperone this year. Brooks, he's one of the
chaperone.
Well, I wouldn't say chaperone, but a representative.
He's a coach,
you know, and
he's one of the captains.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, that
I thought he was going to bring a cheerleader with him or something. Chaperone.
Yeah, we know where your mind is, Lee. Even after Christmas Day, but Steve, you know, we're going to go out there like we did last year. We're going to go out to Orlando, and you're going to see, you know, the respect that Brooks is afforded by even, second and third year players that were in grade school when Brooks was a star. The guy is instant credibility, and I think it's a no-brainer to bring him in. No-brainer.
Well, this made a lot of waves, Ira, because, you know, it's a bold call. Derek Brooks, as you said in the column, is not going to take a figurehead position. He's not going to he doesn't need the paycheck, I believe you said, although Mr. Brooks might have winced when he read that.
He's also a free agent because they've ceased operations.
Yeah.
Now's the time.
Tampa Bay Storm is no more. But so what does he do here, Ira? What's the role for Derek Brooks? A lot of fans think GM. A lot of fans think make him a VP or something overlight as a supervisory role of everything. Well, what's his role here? What's his value?
The Bucs don't have a team president, and a lot of franchises do. I didn't say you have to name him, you know, and give him sway over the general manager position. But you give him a vice president title. You pay the man commensurate with what he should be paid. Money's not a big factor over at One Buck Place. They're making money hand over fist, no matter how many people show up at Ray J. We all know that. You can't lose money as an NFL franchise. It's almost impossible. It's certainly not the case here in Tampa. And you ask them to help you. You help me on the field, you know, bounce ideas, free agent, help lure some key free agents that that look at Brooks as a guy, you know, hey, Brooks is trying to get me here in Tampa. I like what they're doing over there. The bottom line is, guys, whether you want to admit it or not, this team is not looked at very fondly around this league right now. They're just not.
For good reason.
You know, they look like a franchise lurching from one mistake to the next. That's what it looks like. We got to be honest here. And, you know, 10 years of playoff drought and fans who got their hopes up and the hard knocks instead of occurring in August have occurred from September to December. They got to do something to get these fans back on board. And I think Brooks is a good first step. Good first step.
I have no comment on Brooks. You know, the first thing that jumps out at me is what's he done to qualify him as, you know, being a fantastic player and a great human being is one thing. That doesn't mean you're a management type. Then again, he was with the Storm. Then again, the Storm were more lousy than they were good. I don't know what to say. I'll just plead the fifth. I don't want to incriminate myself. I don't know. You know, I will say this in overall general summation. What is this fascination with the president of football operations all of a sudden? Yeah, I know Coughlin did it, but Coughlin was also had a hand in personnel with the Giants, with the Jaguars in previous inception. And just because the Jaguars have done it, all of a sudden the entire flipping NFL should do it?
I believe Derek Brooks knows what a football player looks like. I have confidence in that. I think he can help the Bucks. He's not going to scout the tight end from Iowa State, but there's plenty for Derek Brooks
why
to
not?
Do in this organization.
If he's going to have influence, why shouldn't he be scouting the backup tight end for Iowa State?
Because I don't think Tom Coughlin did that either. I think Tom Coughlin set a tone, a direction for this franchise, and I think Brooks can go a long way. They need help.
So
this team needs help.
So
this franchise needs help.
The Bucks, in order for the Bucks to have a hard training camp to prepare them for the season, they got to hire Derek Brooks. You and I can't tell them to do that?
Well, I'll tell you right now that if Derek Brooks is around for the next training camp, it's going to look a little different because I think he's going to have some input into the right way to get players ready for a season.
I'll tell you right now, if John Gruden's the next head coach, it's going to be done however the hell Gruden wants it, whether Brooks is here or not.
Yeah.
Well, Gruden and Brooks have a tremendous amount of mutual respect. Tremendous amount.
Well, the Brooks thing is interesting, Ira. It's funny, Lee pled the fifth. I mean,
when does he ever plead the fifth?
It's not a court case.
You know? I love Derek Brooks, but I just, you know, the resume's thin.
The reaction from fans, you hear some of it, see it online, is, well, Brooks, yeah, the Storm, what are they, didn't do too much.
I think that's apples and oranges.
And I think in some ways very much so it is, apples and oranges, but surely you'd feel better if the Storm were the three-time AFL champions. Brooks, I think, could help the team a lot with free agency, on the pro personnel side.
Agree.
I do believe he knows what it looks like in the NFL, would know how to get the best intelligence possible on a lot of these guys. Keep in mind, he's been working for the NFL in the capacity that he's in now as the appeals officer, but still, I think he could do wonders on that part of it. And I think, honestly, I think it's fair. Some people have said, I've heard it, I've thought it myself, hey, look, Jameis Winston has some control issues with himself, making good decisions. Derek Brooks has been mentoring him since he walked into the league. Now, does that mean Jameis would be a total train wreck without Brooks? Maybe. But has Brooks achieved everything he wanted to help Jameis?
Now Brooks would
I don't know.
Be,
now there
Brooks,
you go.
Now
you,
Brooks would be in the same building as Winston every
well,
day.
Well, if he's working with Brooks and allegedly Winston has issues, what's going on here? So you're going to hire – if you're using it as a premise to bring Brooks in because Jameis has issues controlling himself, and clearly we know Brooks is working with Jameis.
He's not working with Jameis.
I hear he's
not on a daily basis.
I mean, if you're using that premise, what is the evidence?
Because when you're in the same building with a guy day after day, you're traveling with the team, you're talking to a guy before games, after games, it's different.
I know, it sounds like
a lot more hands-on with Winston, and Brooks is all in on Winston, and I think a lot of Buck fans are still all in on Winston. I think the Glazers are still in on Winston.
It sounds like to me you got a health issue. You're seeing your doctor once a week and you're getting nowhere. Why would you keep going back?
Well, you're making it sound like Jameis Winston has bottomed out this
no,
year.
No. I'm using the premise that Steve introduced, that if you think Jameis is having self-control issues, some would make that argument, that's a reason to bring Brooks in. Yet we know that Brooks and Jameis are working together. So if Jameis is having control issues, I would say maybe whatever him and Brooks are talking about is not working.
So as we start talking about Jameis Winston, the fire engines start.
Yeah,
Steve.
Lee said medical issues, and here they come. Here they come. I'm not anti-Brooks. I think
main point is get him in the building. I agree with you.
They could. Oh,
I get him in the building, sure, but we're going to make him president of football operations or GM.
Get him in the building.
The front office, their resume is pretty thin.
I'd get him in the building as well, and you know what? You could get him in the building and then let his role evolve.
There you go. I'll agree with that.
See where he believes. You know, let him touch every element of the organization and see where he feels he can give the most help. I would trust him, his instincts as to where he can help. Let him find the deficiencies.
I don't think he wants to be an assistant coach. I don't think that's his future. No. But he can. I think he can certainly accelerate the development of Kendall Beckwith. And Quan Alexander.
And those guys.
And they're excelling as it is.
Those guys look up to him big time. I think you made that point in your column. I mean, you mentioned Brooks to Beckwith. You mentioned Brooks to Quan Alexander. I mean, just the awe in their voice and on their face when they talk about Brooks. They really look up to him. I talked to Beckwith back in, I don't know if it was August, maybe September, about Brooks. And, I mean, he almost needed a drool towel. He's like, I would love to sit down.
He's got that kind of cachet,
yes.
Steve, with young players, and I think that's unusual. You mentioned Steve Young to a young quarterback. They don't even know what you're talking about. You mentioned Derek Brooks. I think he's still got cachet.
Oh, here's a cool story. And this was mid-season maybe, and Kendall Beckwith said, you know, Mike Smith and Quan always had their get-togethers every day early in the morning. And Kendall Beckwith started like, well, if Quan's doing it, I ought to do it. And so Beckwith often regularly join Quan and Mike Smith for their little powwows before practice. Well, one day they got there early enough, and Mike Smith was showing tape. I can't remember what year. I want to say 2001, maybe. It was a Saturday night game, Baltimore against the Bucks. The Bucks beat Baltimore, and it was specifically to watch Ray Lewis and Derek Brooks. And Kendall Beckwith was saying, I don't know if any NFL game you could watch to learn from two powerhouse linebackers in the same tape.
Well, Lewis will be joining Brooks in the hall in a couple of months. He'll be fitted for a gold jacket. He's the one sure thing, maybe along with Randy Moss in this year's class. Steve, I'm not saying that Derek Brooks is going to automatically turn the Bucks into a 12-4 team in 2018. I'm not saying that. But they got to change the dynamic in that building. It's not working. It's not working.
I'm going to throw a name out at you, and I know this wasn't the subject of your column, of course. But some guy who's already got a foot in the door at One Buck Palace, Rondé Barber.
It depends on Rondé's aspirations. He's doing. He's getting better in his job, John Lynch got better in his job. Lynch was not exceptional in year one. Steadily got better. I think Rondé's getting better. Who knows? In a few years, Rondé could be the number one analyst for Fox. You never know.
I know Rondé is part of Jason Light's kitchen cabinet. Very tight. Very tight, and I know that Light bounces ideas off him, you know, uses his wisdom, as Derek Brooks would say, the wisdom. So that's a guy, I'm not anti-Brooks, but I'm just, it seems more of a PR stunt than anything else.
Well, you mentioned Rondé Barber. Steve, I'll say this. One of the things that distinguishes Rondé Barber and Derek Brooks,
intelligence?
Their playing careers, smarts, instincts and smarts.
Sure.
Big factors in their success.
Like Derek Brooks has the broad business experience that Rodney Barber really has none of, to the best of our knowledge.
Yes.
So I don't see Barber in any kind of role like that, not yet. And he, you know, a guy has to be committed to that. And Brooks has shown he's committed to the business of franchise leadership. He's committed to the business side of the NFL.
That's
and a
right.
lot of things. So I like that. I mean, I would, if I bring him in, though, I got to give him a lot of power, because otherwise, what is he really doing?
I think he's got to have his hands in a lot of areas.
He's got to have a powerful role so he can do all the things you would want him to do. Otherwise, if he's just, what's he really doing, you know?
Give him a Butch Davis role. Part coach, part front office.
I'm not saying this is contingent on hiring John Gruden. I think he can be a big help to Dirk Cutter.
Yeah, no, look, he'd be a good guy to hire right now, no matter who's in there. It's an organizational thing, not a Gruden thing or a help Mike Smith thing. I think it's a
you can't have too many smart people in that building, Lee. He's smart.
Well, that's why I'm leaning toward Barber, because it seems like Barber wants to get involved and has been involved in some degree with the football side front office, not the business side.
You know, look, I might be overstepping my bounds, which I've been known to do.
Join the club.
But I think I don't think the Glazers and Brooks are as close as they should be. I don't think they're as close.
Really?
You know, and they've made tremendous strides with John Gruden, obviously, with the Ring of Honor. Now, of course, Brooks is in the Ring of Honor, but I think that was a residue of him going into the Hall of Fame that year, and immediately he went into the Ring of Honor. I wouldn't say there's bad feelings between Brooks and the Glazers. I think that would be an overstatement.
Strange.
But I think they need to close ranks and get a little closer, and I think it would be a smart move for both sides.
Is it still strained about how he exited the...
Well, those wounds go deep. Steve, he never thought it was going to happen to him. Brooks never thought. And Sapp would tell him, you know, in 2006, 2007, you're next, Brooks. You're next. It's going to happen. They're going to cut you. Brooks never thought it was going to happen to him. And his eyes were wide shut in 2009 when that veteran purge happened.
Well, look, competitive guys like Gruden and Derek Brooks, you fire them, they got to, you know, they're competitive. They're not used to losing.
And you notice it didn't happen under Gruden's watch. It happened as soon as Gruden left the building.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, it was ugly. Look, the Glazers handled it horribly. Brooks was coming off a Pro Bowl. Brooks was not having his best season in 08.
He got hurt a little bit.
He was older, of course. But the guy, from what I understand, he was in there studying film with Jim Bates going over the new defense already.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to make a move like that, the communication has to be way better in a lot of ways, a lot of areas, and it didn't have to happen. Because we all know the reason that you're saying bring Brooks in now. You don't think a young coach like Raheem Morris could have used Derek Brooks around?
Let's make no mistake. That decision was not made by Raheem or Mark Dominic.
Not at all.
No.
I'm going to pin that on Mark Dominic. I'll pin a lot on Mark Dominic,
guy.
But not that one.
He was the
that
fall
came
guy.
From the top.
Came from the top, and it was really stupid. It was a money saver, which was what the Bucks were doing at that time.
Ira, part of your rationale for bringing in Brooks, I'm not saying it's 80%, I'm just saying part of it, is that the Bucks, and you brought this up a little bit ago, by the way, the Bucks are now Cleveland South. The fact that the Rams clinched the division, the Bucks have the longest playoff drought in the NFC. They're Cleveland South.
Brutal.
Yeah, what kind of distinction is that to carry around?
It's not much of one, but is part of your rationale bringing in Brooks is like, you've screwed up so much in the last decade, you can't screw up much more.
Well, I think you could look at it from that aspect, too. He's a smart mind. He's a smart man. He's got great instincts. He knows what players look like, what elite players look like. Sage advice. Sage advice from Mr. Brooks. Can't hurt.
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, when we're talking about the Glazers and hiring smart people, look, they didn't hire you when you were booted from the Tribune.
Wow, I mean, where'd that come from,
I mean,
Lee?
That's the...
But I land on my feet.
Epitome of foolish by Team Glazer.
I land
Glazer
on my feet.
To not have the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports in the building, you know, that's ruthless.
Well, maybe they didn't want me, writing for the team website because I call him like I see him, Lee, and I've proven that.
Ira, I'll tell you this in case I never have before or you didn't know. I have lobbied within the building of One Buck Palace that you should be on radio broadcasts. You would be like the Myron Cope of Tampa Bay. If anybody doesn't know who Myron Cope is, Google him. You'll enjoy it. You would be perfect on radio broadcasts, but the powers that be there, they love you, but they're like, oh, you can't do that in this day and age. I'm like, why not?
Well, they'd rather have Michael Clayton. You know, let's leave it at that, Steve.
He's not on the Buccaneers radio network. He's just on a pregame show. All right.
Why don't you explain the difference for people who don't know that?
He's not paid by the Buccaneers. Okay. He's on the radio.
What's your next topic, my man? What do you got?
My next topic goes to something you just said, Sage. Change the dynamic. You just told everybody the Bucs need to change the dynamic in the building.
Isn't it obvious?
Okay. Well, if it's obvious, then do you keep the head coach? You keep the general manager? Because those are the guys leading the dynamic, Mr. Kaufman.
Well, that's the raging debate that's going on around here. And I'll, you know, look, I know your job is to pin me down over here, Isbitz. You do it very well. I threw this out there in a tweet the other day, Lee, and I got to back it up. So I'll say it again. You know, if you're going to make a change, and it's Gruden, I think people would understand. It's a bold change. If you can't get Gruden, and there's a good chance you're not going to get Gruden. I think there's a good chance you don't get Gruden.
Okay, just want to make sure our listeners heard that.
Regardless of what you're reading on some other sites. It's not done till it's done with John Gruden. You know that. We've been talking about this for 9 years at this time of year. If you can't get him, Steve, I think you give Cutter another chance. You give Cutter one more chance. I'm going to make the case in my column later this week for keeping Cutter, and I think you can make a compelling case to keep Cutter. And I'll just give you a little tidbit. What's your message now, Glazers? What's your message? You can't have one bad season as a Buccaneer coach before you go through the trap door? Is that really the message you want to send the National Football League?
Do you think?
We've come a long way from 6 years with Dungy and 7 years with Gruden. A long way. And it's not a good way.
Do you think Gruden and or his agent have said that to the Glazers? Like, wait a minute. Guy has one. What are you going to do to us if we have a losing season?
No. I think it's like just get Gruden's foot back in the door and they don't worry about that stuff.
Okay.
So
you don't think Gruden's people aren't even remotely concerned that they'll have the rug pulled out from under them?
No, because they would go in with a lot of confidence and bravado. That they have a lot of clout.
They have Steve Crane, in other words.
They have a lot of clout. You know, I mean, he's got that Super Bowl ring, well deserved. Can't take that away from him. You go in the front lobby of the building, there's John Gruden leading the charge, you know, with those figures, those action figures.
He's not eating them either.
So, you know, there's got to be some changes no matter what happens. There's got to be some changes. You can't come back with the same dynamic, I don't think.
All right, Sage.
And as far as your man Jason Light, I think that's a raging debate. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's plenty of all of them. Free agency, we've gone ad nauseum on this site. You can't change it. That's a D or an F. It's a D or an F. I'm sorry. 4 years are in the books. D or an F. Another good draft class, 2017. Yeah. Another good one. You know, 16 was not good. He's bounced back in 17. Chris Godwin, by the way, looks very good.
Yes.
I like that guy.
He dropped that damn touchdown
Sunday. Never mind that.
That ball, that's the play
catchable.
Right there. That's the play. It was right where it was supposed
to
be.
He's also got the longest reception for the franchise this season.
That scored how many points?
A 70-yard catch.
I know, but touchdowns. This team needs touchdowns.
I'm not down on Godwin at all. Excellent pick is what they needed. They needed a guy to come in and be a number three who could be a number two or a number one. He's done everything they've asked, and I suspect he could do a lot more
Down on O.J. Howard.
How could you be?
Some fans are down on him.
Who?
I'm not down on O.J. Howard.
What fool is down on him?
They wanted 60 catches, you know, for 1,000 yards.
Well, that's irresponsible because rookies don't do that in that time.
And you got Cameron Brate. You know, who's taking catches away from.
By the way,
we'll debate light on another podcast, but there's plenty to debate there.
Is it? Yeah, I almost hate this. Yeah, cause I know people listen to this. That's why I hate to say bad things about people I like, but I got to be honest. Is he starting to become brittle?
Who's that?
Cam Brate. No, not light. Cam Brate.
Cam Brate? No, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so.
I mean, he gets lit up pretty good.
He's money in the red zone, guys. In the red zone.
All right, Ira, before we go to the game, because you started talking about Gruden, everybody hears the escalated rumors on Sunday.
Now the rumors are reaching out for his staff, putting the staff together.
What do you make of that?
Well, again, the national media carrying the water for this whole thing.
Not Jay Glazer, not ESPN,
Gruden, Ian Rappaport.
You know, we know that Chris Mortensen is super tight with John Gruden from years ago. Not a peep on ESPN. What do you make of it all coming through NFL Network and the rumors itself?
Well, Ian Rappaport seems to be the conduit. Seems to be the conduit from what you would think would be the Gruden camp. And by the Gruden camp, I don't mean John Gruden himself, but the people surrounding him that have John Gruden's interests at heart are now going through Ian Rappaport. They've done it more than once. Rappaport's looking good to his bosses. He loves it. We'll see how accurate the information is. Of course, there are no names mentioned in that story about potential candidates to fill coaching jobs. I'll throw one out right now. Gus Bradley, you know, we talked about it. He's on a short-term deal with the Chargers. He's had a shot as a head coach. He's never going to get another shot. Just like Rod Marinelli, not going to get another shot. Didn't work out. You're done as a head coach. But Bradley has a habit of good defenses following him around. You know, now he's not Wade Phillips, but he's good.
Except to Jacksonville, where he was the coach.
You know.
They were okay. They were okay.
Well, I'm talking about his coordinator.
I know. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Now, he's had talent.
When you mentioned Gus Bradley's name, and I know I yank your chain about this, in good-naturedly, but I know how Bucks fans are. If they're listening to this podcast, driving across to Howard Franklin, I hope they are able to swim.
Well, Bradley was already on Gruden's staff. Don't forget that. He was a member of John Gruden's staff.
Sure.
I believe he coached linebackers for the Bucks. He was not the coordinator. He's done a nice job with the Chargers this year on defense. Joey Bosa has developed nicely.
He wasn't there when they drafted him.
No, I'm saying he's working with Joey Bosa.
Yeah.
You know, and
Ingram was there before he came around.
They've improved.
Okay.
Your whole defense
So you
has
mean
improved.
You can have a good defense when you have a few pass rushers?
Well, and in Seattle, he certainly had people to work with. He certainly had people. But I think Bradley's well-respected as an assistant. Again, never going to be a head coach again, but there's plenty of those guys around that excel in an assistant role.
He's got
a good rapport with Gruden already.
There's a couple of things. And I'm not trying to bash Gus Bradley here, but I think I brought this up on a previous podcast. I think I have figured out why Bucks fans, although the haters have been quieted down last week or two, how people have turned so much on Jameis. Has nothing to do with his behavior. Has nothing to do with Uber. He's the front man for a losing organization.
Yep.
That's why they hate McCoy. It has nothing to do with his play. He's a front man for a losing organization.
Who are you going to blame? T.J. Ward?
Yeah, no. So with fans, when they see McCoy, now when they see Winston, they see L's, not W's, and they don't like it.
I think there's a lot to be said for that, Steve.
That's number one. So that Gus Bradley, when a lot of fans hear Gus Bradley, like I said, they're being fished out of the Tampa Bay right now by emergency personnel. When they hear you say Gus Bradley!
Talking about him in a specific role.
I know, but I'm channeling what the crazy Bucks fans.
They see terrible Jacksonville teams.
Yeah, quote Dirk Cutter, the only thing people give a spit about are wins. That's all they care about. They see Gus Bradley, worst NFL coach since Pearl Harbor. Look it up, people. And they're
Steve, Rod Marinelli, very well respected as a D-line coach, a D-coordinator. The guy went 0-16.
Mm-hmm.
That's Marinelli.
Bucks fans know about him, so there's street cred. They don't know Gus.
And by the way, I think Marinelli would be Gruden's first choice, but I think it'd be tough to pry him out of Dallas.
But
he's not going to get pried out of Dallas. And Bradley's, I understand, he's got a 1-year deal, but why wouldn't he want to stay? He's got, they're averaging, I just looked it up, Ira, 17 points a game allowed in San Diego. It's a winning team. It's a new head coach. He obviously has a good scene there. He's probably going to get, you know, a lot of love out there.
Depends on money.
It's L.A., baby. It's L.A.
It's L.A.,
baby.
Yeah,
now, there's something that Steve, I don't know if this is the root of why you brought this up, but it just, light bulb went off in my head. To use your word, conduit. I like that. Conduit. The word of the day, conduit.
There you go.
Ian,
not condom. Conduit.
I know. I said conduit, not condom.
Right,
there's two wholly different elements here. I know you think I'm a dirty mind, but not that. I'm a freak, but not that much of a freak. Come on now. Give me a break, Ira, please. But who does Rappaport work for? The house organ of the NFL.
Absolutely.
Didn't that say something to you? That all the Gruden information is not coming from ESPN, and I don't know how.
By the way, did anybody ask Gruden last night on the ESPN broadcast about
this? Now you bring this up. Well, okay.
Did anybody ask him? I didn't see this.
I'll bring this up. I meant to bring this up. I wrote about it. I'll be quick with it. You and I had a back and forth on Twitter.
Yes, we did.
And we're both like-minded, we think ESPN is grossly unethical and not asking Gruden.
You gotta say ask and asked and answered.
Especially Monday
night.
You
know, you got a job to do.
Especially Monday, thank you. You're either a news organization or you're a bunch of frauds. One of the two. I lean toward frauds.
Gruden's going to give you a non-answer answer.
But you tried.
But you tried.
But they're not even trying.
And I said, I think it's because they might be afraid of the answer. That was my answer.
You and I were going back and forth on Twitter over the weekend. I used the word frauds, and I stick by that.
I did not use the word
frauds. You did not, but I did. And I not only do I take credit for that, ownership of it,
I stand by it.
Now, in doing so, Jenna Lane covers the Bucks for ESPN. She was unnerved by that.
Well, she defended her organization.
And I don't blame her, but I want to be clear. Not even a fraction of my brain was thinking of her about ESPN. It was the national guys.
Right.
It was the Schefters, Sean McDonough, who shares the booth. Sean McDonough, who's on Chris Russo talking about how he answers for the fans. Where was your question? If you're the mind of the fans, if you have the pulse of the fans, why didn't you ask Gruden, Monday Night Football in Tampa, are you coming back to coach the Bucks?
One more thing, guys. Tell me if I'm stretching here.
You're stretching.
Tell me if I'm stretching here. I find it very curious and perhaps very telling that in years past, when the Gruden rumors were strong, and they always are this time of year, around this time of year, there's a joint statement between Gruden and ESPN saying he's re-upped, you know, and then the theory is he got more money out of the network. And, Steve, where's the statement? We got nothing. ESPN doesn't want to touch the story. We got nothing.
Here's one.
So that's another clue that, you know, these rumors are a little more credible this time around.
Before we get going, I want to be clear on this. I in no way, shape, or form insinuated or even thought that Jenna was involved. Jenna works her tail off. Jenna's got great sources. Jenna does a fantastic job.
With all her alfalfa sprouts and mushrooms.
I don't blame. I have allergies too, so I'm not.
She works hard. She works hard.
But when I was going off calling ESPN frauds, I was talking about the national guys, including McDonough.
Understood.
Obviously, it wasn't clear on Twitter because Jenna got bent. And I don't blame her, but Jenna, I apologize. You were not included in what I was thinking about. It was
well,
the national guys.
Well, you'll see her tomorrow. She might spike your coffee over there early.
Well, here, you talk about McDonough. And, you know, McDonough's sharing a booth with him. McDonough always brags about that he has a pulse of the fans. If they're throwing too many flags, on Russo's show, I try to put myself in the place of the fans. Well, he didn't the Monday night game because he would have asked Gruden. Number one. Number two, when he was on Chris Russo's show about 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, Chris Russo saw it fit to ask McDonough, is your partner coming back? Is your partner
and
going
to
coach?
He said he would be very surprised. If Gruden came if back, it, that's what McDonough
I
said.
I know, but what I'm getting at is Chris Russo saw fit to ask him, is your partner coming back? You're telling me McDonough, who claims to be the pulse of the fans, maybe I should ask, since we're in Tampa, I'll ask John on the air.
And Steve,
that's fraud.
We understand that there's conversations with Gruden himself. Do you mind if we ask you this question? And Gruden's going to say, I'd rather not. But you know what? He doesn't get to make that
Thank
call.
You.
He doesn't get to make the
He's
call.
He's an employee.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Look, it's very simple. As like Lee said, either you're a news organization or you're not. And a news organization would ask Gruden the question, get whatever answer Gruden feels like spitting out, and that's it.
You know, they spend three stories a week talking about coaches in trouble.
They dwell
on that stuff.
So it's
they have a hot they have a meter. A hot seat meter for coaches.
It's ludicrous, and we'll leave it at that. But Ira, I do want to, since we're talking media for a second.
Oh boy, food?
Ian Rappaport, he's the same guy who reported that Jameis Winston and Dirk Koetter have some sort of rift going on. Now, we have learned in the last 2 weeks, per your words 5 minutes ago, that now we know that Gruden's conduit is Rappaport. Gruden's camp is tight with Rappaport. Do you think there's any chance with this new assessment and the latest that Gruden's camp planted that? Do you feel that in your heart at all? That there's a chance?
Well, it's an interesting tie-in. It's an interesting thought. We were thinking maybe Winston's camp was responsible. We know it didn't come from Koetter. We know it didn't come from Light. Did not.
And you saw proof of that.
And I saw proof of that. The Glazers have been mentioned, but I don't think the Glazers are guilty as charged there. So you're saying, is it all part of one big picture?
I'm just asking you what you think. It's interesting, since now it's pretty clear that Gruden is tied in with Rappaport. And Rappaport's the guy who broke this stuff out of left field that nobody else has even caught a sniff of.
You know what's interesting about that is when you're a national media reporter like Rappaport, you don't care what people's motives are. You're
looking for content.
Yeah, you want content and you want clicks. I'm not saying he's wrong about all these things. Just because Dirk Cutter uses the word consistent about relationship with Winston doesn't mean the report's wrong. Doesn't mean that. It could be all part of one giant push to get Cutter out of there and Gruden in that seat.
Yeah, look, the story wasn't the report. The story was who was feeding the report to NFL Network, so maybe we have some insight now.
One of Jenna's issues with
again
calling
with
fraud.
Jenna?
Well, this is interesting. She obviously didn't like I called them frauds. And on Twitter, she goes, "You don't do that to colleagues." I beg to differ.
Well, that's a strong word.
I beg to differ. Both locally and nationally, there's evidence that legitimate news organizations would not bury a story like ESPN's burying the Chucky story. I won't mention his name because I don't want to embarrass him.
The Kemper sounds like Trump talking about CNN right now.
Wait a minute. No, I didn't say fake news. But I'm not going to embarrass the guy, but we know who we're talking about here when I mention this. A prominent member of the sports staff, the Tampa Bay Times, at the time, it was St. Petersburg Times, got popped for a DUI. They didn't ignore that. St. Pete Times, they wrote about it. Media General, which owned at the time both the Tampa Tribune and WFLA, didn't hide Chris Thomas getting a DUI. Matter of fact, they put that on the front page, if I recall correctly. You think Matt Lauer, you think NBC wanted to bury the Matt Lauer story because he was a colleague? Or Fox with O'Reilly and Roger Ailes? I can go on. Ross at ABC with literally was a fake news story. They suspended him. He was a colleague. So give me a break with the colleague stuff. You're either the news organization or you're not.
I think we're all in agreement on that one, Steve. ESPN has not distinguished itself in terms of the Gruden to Tampa story. It is not a high point for ESPN.
No, not at all. They're not interested, which is whatever. It's fine.
They're hoping like Kelly. They're hoping like Kelly comes back. That's all you can say. They don't want him leaving.
I bet not. I bet they can get someone to do
No, I disagree, Lee. They don't want him to leave.
They're red tape. They're losing money. That's $6.5 million they're paying him a year.
If they felt that way, they wouldn't have given him 5 raises already. I mean,
things have changed rapidly in the last year.
I understand.
I don't. I have no opinion on ESPN. I don't really care. I don't think they necessarily know what they're doing in covering these teams and whatever. It's a bean counter thing. You know, I don't think John Gruden is the face of ESPN. He's an announcer on a TV show. If it makes money,
well, he's their highest paid employee. I mean, yeah. If that gives you any indication of how they look at him, how they value him.
Sure, it's a part of that. It's just the timing of when he signed his deal and them not wanting to break up that band yet.
And look how many people are laying off because of their bad TV contracts with NBA, NFL, Big Ten probably.
So, all right, enough of that, Ira. Let's get back to something called a football game that was played Sunday in Carolina. Your impressions of that game, of the what you saw, just let it rip.
That they kicked the crap out of them. I mean, I can't believe they lost that game. I don't think you can play much better defense than they did in the first half. You can't play much
Bucks,
better
no.
defense.
For the Bucks, the Bucks. No.
I believe they had 88 yards. And by the way, that included getting the ball twice on Winston fumbles. That's 2 extra possessions. 88 yards. I believe I'm correct on that. They did nothing. Absolutely nothing. They had better field position than the Bucks. They went nowhere. Newton couldn't throw a pass more than 10 yards, a completion. Their running game went nowhere. The Bucks played a heck of a game. And when the final score shows up, the Bucks are on the losing end. That tells you not the total story of the Bucks season. Of course, there's too many games like Minnesota and New Orleans and Arizona when they didn't show up.
Now, what do you? I want your reaction to this. And I've read a couple stories on Peter King's site, not by Peter King, mind you, but I see the insinuation, the bubbling below the surface, that national guys, from their perspective, national guys, are kind of giving the Panthers a pass on almost losing the Bucks because of the Jerry Richardson nonsense.
Oh, I think that's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
They think that they're
You think Kawan Short has Jerry Richardson on his mind? when he's chasing Jameis Winston down?
Because there's a couple of stories on how focused is Cam Newton because he's close to Richardson.
Absolute nonsense. Nah, okay. The only guy that's close to Jerry Richardson, as far as I know, is Roger Goodell. They're tight. They're very tight. I'll give you a quick story. Years ago, I think it might have been the Super Bowl in Tampa, the Pittsburgh-Arizona Super Bowl, which is a ways back. But I think that was the year maybe that Jerry Richardson was undergoing some heart procedures.
He had a heart transplant, didn't he?
Yeah, and so there's always a Super Bowl party, the night of the game, late. I mean, you know, you follow your stories.
And you're rubbing elbows?
And so, of course, you know, Kaufman shows up because there's still shrimp on the barbie at midnight. So I showed up, you know, at the convention center, wherever the thing was, and Goodell was wandering around.
Your buddy.
My buddy. And by the way, he loves Derek Brooks. If the Bucks don't hire him, I think there's a chance Goodell hires him.
Well, he already works there, right?
Goodell about him. He loves Derek Brooks.
Are you going to get on the phone to Goodell this week or what? What are you doing?
No, I want Brooks in the Buck building. I don't want him at the Park Avenue. That's a dying franchise over there. The Bucks are vibrant. So anyway, I saw Goodell that night, and, you know, all he was concerned about was how's Jerry Richardson?
Is that right, really?
And I believe he got a call, like, at about 11 o'clock. Saying he's out of intensive care or whatever, and a tremendous amount of relief.
Wow.
You know, very close, Richardson. But Kawhan Short, no. Julius Peppers, who, by the way, they couldn't block on Sunday.
No. What's new?
Couldn't block him. I thought the Bucks played a tremendous game. I mean, a tremendous game. You talk about Carolina being distracted. I look at it the other way.
Well,
had to win that game.
Yeah.
They're very motivated to win that game.
And by the way,
They want a bye week. They want to win the division. You know, they want a home game. They don't want to be the fifth seed. They want to be the third or fourth seed.
By the way, I'm not the one authoring that theory.
I understand. I was shocked how well the Bucks played. I thought they were going to get blown out. I said it a week ago when picking the score. I thought it was going to be a blowout.
They played defense. The defense, what, allowed 13 points, 14 points?
You know, the linebacking unit was tremendous. You got to give props to McCoy for playing that game. Come on, now he could have easily sat out. Nobody would have said a word.
The haters are running out of ammunition with
this guy.
You know,
the guy had three quarterback hits, you know, out of five, and a sack.
He single-handedly stopped two drives.
Yeah.
On third down. That's what you want.
You can't be knocking Gerald McCoy.
But what Steve unearthed in the locker room after the game about how McCoy told Swaggy Baker, you know, forget Newton. Watch the ball, don't you?
That's leadership.
Thank you.
That's leadership.
And all these people screaming about McCoy is not a leader. If that's not leadership, I don't know what leadership
is.
You know,
Grimes was Grimes. You know, you can't beat the guy. It's very difficult. He missed the tackle. He missed one big tackle.
It happens.
He got spun around, but it happens. Boy, I don't even want to think about the Bucs secondary when Brent Grimes next year. I don't even want to think about it, Steve.
And by the way,
that's a big, big decision.
If people haven't seen it, Miko's already taken
the
social media saying they're looking forward to free agency.
The Bucks don't control the situation. This is a dicey situation for the Bucks.
Well, let's
there's going to be suitors for Brent
Grimes. Stick with the game, Stage. Stick with the game.
I thought the Bucks played a tremendous game. What am I going to say?
Well, they played a tremendous game.
What am I going to say?
I mean, you can point fingers in every
game.
You
know, Patrick Murray, you got to make that kick.
The special teams lost the game for the Bucks, right?
Yes.
Kickoff return for a touchdown.
Yes.
Josh Robinson, this is what kills me. The guy is the special teams captain.
Ace. Yeah.
They paid him a lot of money in free agency because you know who they didn't want to re-sign as special teams captain? The guy
Russell
on the
Shepard.
Panthers, Russell Shepard. Okay? So they put all their eggs in Robinson's basket, and the freaking punter's throwing a softball out there, and Robinson doesn't know
Tricked
how to,
all over.
Yeah. Doesn't know how to cover the one guy he has to cover.
That was a balloon. That throw. It was a balloon.
And this guy's a cornerback.
Yeah, and meanwhile, he's a cornerback. Now we understand why he hasn't taken a freaking defensive snap in 2 years on this team. And the special teams killed the game. Murray's got a, you know, he hasn't made the clutch kicks, really, and last couple of weeks.
You're right.
And so that's the head coach and the coordinator.
I think the only play the Bucs special teams made was when Golston made that second straight block.
Yeah,
2 weeks in a row.
Are two blocks a season worth how many million?
You know what? And that's not the first thing I want to say about a defensive end.
Blocks kicks.
Yeah, he blocks a kick.
The long arm of the law.
That was a good line. Long arm of the law. Yeah, I don't know if two block kicks a season is worth, what, $6 million?
I don't think any Buck fan can question the effort in any manner.
Steve came up with the nickname of the year.
I did?
Yes. When you referred to Swaggy Baker.
The Sage? No.
Well, that's number two, actually.
That's number two.
When he referred to Swaggy Baker as a half sack. And you know what that reminded me of?
Well, he has half a sack this season.
Man. Not sad sack.
Half sack. And Ira, you're old enough to remember this. I always kid you how you covered Sid Luckman. But my dad's favorite comic strip. Remember those things, comic strips? And the funny papers, remember those? That's the thing that's gone. But there used to be a comic strip called Beetle Bailey. It was about military
Beetle
life.
Beetle Bailey, yeah, it was the Daily News.
And my dad loved that. Well, there was a character in that comic strip called General Half Track. And that's what I thought of when I read Steve called Swaggy Baker Half Sack.
You know,
Half Track.
Steve, I hope our listeners, including 11 in Guam, I hope our listeners, Steve, when we look back at this season, and I think they will remember this, we have been on number 90 since March. Since March. Well before you ever played a snap for the Bucks. We were on top of this guy.
And you were right, Ira, all
along.
We
were on top of this guy. We watched him like a hawk in training camp. And every day I come in and Isbitz goes, 90's got a hat on. He's not practicing today. Every day. Now, he's not the reason the Bucks are 4-11. But he's
a key factor.
He's certainly not a help. You know, and will he be back next year? Probably. We know. And we haven't
shocked.
Even gotten into the Doug Martin situation yet. Steve.
Well, we're gonna get there, Ira, because that's part of the game here. You look at.
I thought they played a hell of a game.
I got to bring it up because it was a big part of the game. Two things on Jameis. One, Jameis had lost three fumbles. He leads the NFL in fumbles. He was third in the NFL in fumbles last year. As a rookie, he actually didn't turn the ball over. He didn't fumble very much. He was actually extremely good.
It's a problem.
So it's an escalating problem, and either Jameis is just reckless and can't stop himself.
He's cut down on his picks.
Now he's fumbling. Where do you stand? Is people just not getting through to him? Is Jameis just so immature that he can't remember everything he has to do at once? What's going on?
I think it's part of its technique. Lee, the way he's carrying the ball, mm-hmm. which can be corrected.
Yes.
You know, I think it's part of its pocket awareness. Some guy creeping up behind him. That doesn't happen to Drew Brees very often.
Right.
Or Brady. Yeah. Doesn't happen. Part of it might be experience. I think Carter would say it's experience.
Pass blocking, maybe?
You know, pass blocking has broken down recently, starting with the Green Bay
game.
Because
of the injuries, yeah.
So, you know, if that's the worst thing you're saying about a third-year quarterback, I can live with that.
Yeah.
I can live
especially
with that.
Especially a guy putting up...
I see no reason to turn the page on Jameis. Zero.
Now
he does have this potential suspension hanging over his head, and we're working on that at Joe Bucks Fan. We're working to get to the bottom of that.
That troubles you.
We might have some news for our listeners later in the week. We might.
Wow. Now that does trouble you more than the fumbles, the
yes.
Uber issue.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll say it again. If the evidence is clear that he lied
sure.
about that incident,
get out.
I think you're drafting
Baker Mayfield.
I think you got to move on.
Wow. Now, I'll say this. I know we've talked about this off air. This technically isn't air. But prior to recording, we talked about this. I brought it up. I put it out on Twitter the other night.
You mean while I was having my steak and egg bagel over there?
Yeah, a little smear.
Yeah, a little smear. I took the first bite. It was all over my sweatshirt. I mean, what's going on?
Well, you got the sip with such shirt on again today. So
you got fumbling issues, Captain.
So I put this out on Twitter. If fumbling is the biggest knock you can make on Jameis Winston, and I'll just tell this story. I can't remember if Whitey Herzog told me this or not, but it's Whitey Herzog's story. Whitey Herzog,
you
for
love
those
this story.
Love Whitey Herzog. I love the story too. Whitey Herzog's a Hall of Fame manager. He built the Cardinals of the '80s. They were the dominant National League team at the time. Eric Zizbitz, because he was a Mets fan. At any rate, and Herzog was one of the most glib, media-friendly guys there ever was. And to this day, he might be of all the sports people I've met, maybe the most sharpest I've ever met. I mean, the guy just...
He didn't miss nothing. He missed nothing.
Just reams of common sense come out of his mouth. All that. Anyway, Todd Worrell was a decent pitcher for the Cardinals back in his day. Not great, but he was good. He was
Big right-hander.
Yeah, big right-hander. Big dude. 300 miles an hour. Well, when the Cardinals... Herzog grew up as a scout with the Mets. He came through the Mets organization. He was responsible for getting Nolan Ryan. That was his guy, Nolan Ryan. Anyway, the scouts were talking about, well, this Worrell pitcher, he throws hard, but he's wild as can be. And Herzog says, he throws 100 miles an hour, right? And they're like, yeah, but he's so wild. And Herzog's response was, we can't teach a guy to throw 100 miles an hour. We can teach him control. And that's what I think of with Winston. You can't teach this guy's God-given abilities. you can teach them how to hang on to the ball. They may be failing now, but if they get new coaching staff, who knows? I've never been a Bajakian fan. There's nothing about Bajakian that shows me with his resume, with his work with Jameis, that he's a competent quarterback coach. Maybe he's competent in the MAC, but this is the NFL.
I think Jameis Winston is finishing this season on a strong note, Steve. And he needed it to win back over some Bucs supporters and maybe some people in the media and maybe the ownership.
I was going to say people
that
won back.
And I think he's doing it.
The end of the game freak out. What do you think of that?
You mean that final fumble?
The freak out after
the
final
fumble.
Shelton Quarles had to hold him back.
I ain't losing any sleep.
He didn't hold him back too well.
I'm not losing any sleep over it.
No.
I think it's a slight sign of his age, immaturity at times. It's his second sideline tantrum of the year.
The first one was unacceptable.
The first one, he wasn't even playing. So
yeah,
that's unacceptable.
Yeah. He thought he was wrong.
This one he claims, and apparently with some merit, that Peppers, he had the football.
Peppers admitted it.
So, I'm not going to go over. Now the Winston bashers, they're looking for anything.
Sure.
They're looking for anything. The fumbles, which is legitimate.
The fumbles are legitimate.
The fumbles are legitimate.
You drop the ball, that's something to see.
A little meltdown when the game's already been decided. No big deal in my mind.
I took it as a meltdown. Like, they still had a prayer coming back and kicking a field goal. And the ball was literally taken out of his hands. Literally and figuratively.
I'd like to see some more guys take it that hard, Steve.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
I'd like to see it.
The freak out in the locker room, whoever that was.
Bravo.
Steve has an idea. Finally, someone's, like, fed up with this. Where was this 2 months ago is my only question. If I have an issue with the fracas in the locker room, it was where was this back in October. Where was this back in October? Now, I was listening on the radio. Steve, of course, was in Carolina. I always do this when I'm at home. I try to listen to the postgame show because Anthony Becht or Dave Moore might have a couple of juicy nuggets, or they have different interviews. T.J. Reeves on the radio, the Buccaneers radio network, they'll have different interviews. They'll have one-on-ones, not the regular press conference. So sometimes Cutter will say something, especially it's right after the game, so emotions are raw still. And I was listening to that post game, and I called Steve. I don't know who it was, but T.J. Reeves is trying to do an interview, just hollering. Somebody was just screaming bloody murder. And then you could tell it was getting louder and louder, and more voices were joining in. And T.J. Reeves was trying to talk over it, and he wasn't doing a good job. And he started to realize it, and then they were setting up for a Lavonnie David interview. And at one point, well, like I said, someone was, I don't know who it was, like just over the top yelling and hollering. And
that could have been Ismitz.
Could have been Ismitz because he didn't get the right meal, maybe.
Wasn't open yet.
So, anyway, it got to the point where you could hear the cussing. And I guess someone, whoever produced the show, got in T.J. Reeves' ear. Like,
We
got to bail to commercial. And T.J. Reeves, like, emotions are high. Emotions are running high. It was getting out of hand. Anyway, he was setting up for a Lavonnie David interview. And T.J. Reeves said, well, David's not here right now, as the screaming is going on in the background as he says this. What? He goes, Lavonnie David's supposed to be here. He's trying to calm someone down.
Let's go to our source over here, DeKemper. Was it a pissed-off locker room
when
the doors opened?
The locker room wasn't open when T.J. Reeves gets the early access.
And I called Steve and said, hey, man, someone's going bananas.
Lee called me to say someone's going bananas in the locker room. I'm like, it's not open
yet.
You
can't get in there.
And it was delayed opening. After that, I'm assuming.
So instead, you're talking to the Glazers.
So instead of chatting with Joel Glazer, how you doing? You know, what's going on?
But it was delayed, you think, because they couldn't get under control in the locker room?
Based on the amount of time it took to get in the locker room on a road game when everyone's trying to get out of town quickly on Christmas Eve, yeah. I think it was delayed to calm things down.
And what happened when the doors opened?
The other reporters in there didn't know of the locker room fracas.
Right. Lee
called me. So I knew. So I asked a lot of guys. I said to a lot of guys, hey, you know, knowing that they're not going to give me names, you know, ask them what they thought. Was it a personal thing? Was it a function
pissed
of
off about losing?
Was it a function of guys caring a lot, or was it somebody stole somebody's shirt? Or what was going on?
Was it directed at one guy? Yeah.
So the general gist that I got, and probably the person who gave me the most on the record was Adam Humphries, but the general gist that I got was really simple, that it was just a spillover from the end of the game. And it was football related, so we'll put it at that, football related, and that, it's a passion. You know, these guys are sick and tired of losing and immense frustration about the way the team lost. And, you know, Clinton McDonald, who you always know is good for stuff, he's like, it's a normal, healthy locker room. He's, it's just sort of the way it goes. But other guys, I think I know who it is, but for me to speculate, it's not fair. I just don't
know. What's wrong with a little passion?
Well, you know, I may have mentioned this on a previous podcast, when it's the previous, maybe a month ago, 6 weeks ago. I don't know. But I've noticed this. Maybe you go down, as soon as the game's over, you go down, you kind of check the pulse of the team as they're coming off the field, going to the locker room. Well, unfortunately, the guy got a lot of practice at this, but I always noticed when Donald Penn was here, he's coming off the field, he's cussing and hollering.
He is.
And this year, with all the losing, I've never seen a player come off the field throwing
very
anything.
Stoic. They're very stoic.
Yes.
They walk into that locker.
Yes, I've never seen.
Stoic.
I've never seen. You know, I mean, you can see the look on Jameis's face. He wants to punch somebody, but he doesn't say anything. And so, like I said earlier, a moment ago, what happened in a locker room Sunday, where was that 2 months ago? That's my only issue. Where was that 2 months ago?
There's a lot we don't see, but it was interesting there. And we'll just leave it at that. I mentioned on my podcast, Ira, that one little interesting note, I'll make it super short, is Jameis had a locker in the corner of the locker room. So it was a row of lockers, very tight, small locker room, older stadium there in Carolina by NFL standards. And Jameis is next to a brick wall to his right as he's looking out from his locker, and he's in a tiny little locker in the corner. And Dirk Cutter was in there after the game. They were both standing. You know, they're only about 2 inches apart. And Cutter was so close that if somebody told me they were kissing, I would have bought it. You know, that's how tight they were. And they were discussing back and forth. And I made the point that as intense as they were and that close physically, if there was any sort of tension, it would have blown up right there. It was clearly a lot of respect, a lot
Cutter's
of discussion.
I think probably saying, you got to let it go, Jameis. I think that's
Well, did you see what Cutter said at the lectern?
It was there a long time. It was very intense. I was talking to Humphreys at the time, who was about three lockers down, and Humphreys, I got the feeling he didn't want to look over. And I, of course, was talking to Humphreys to try to listen in on what was being said with Jameis and Cutter, but they were so close. There's close, there's your wife close, and then there's whatever this was.
I've seen that with Jimbo Fisher and Winston before. But you see what Cutter said at the lectern about
during
Winston?
During his three-minute speech?
Was it 3 minutes?
It was 3 minutes.
Okay. He's a warrior.
Yeah, yeah. I think Cutter, you know, hasn't lost one bit of faith in Winston. I don't detect it.
No. Look, he's executing his offense. It's just not scoring.
Someone say that is Cutter's offense.
I think he goes to bed thinking about how good Winston's going to be in a couple of years.
Wow.
I do.
That's not Cutter, how Cutter, I go to bed.
Cutter Bay. you're thinking about Ann Margaret and Bye Bye Birdie. That's a big difference.
And that's for all our people that are 70 years old.
Ann Margaret.
Ann Margaret.
She would be the Jessica Alba of today, basically, right?
Never mind Jessica Alba. It's all about Ann Margaret.
You're dating yourself, Sage. You're dating yourself.
That's fine. Go back on YouTube.
Yeah, go back to YouTube. Hopefully you find something in color.
The it girl of the mid-50s.
All right, Ira, last one for you. Last one. There's so much we could get to. It's going to be a wild week.
By the way, we're going to have another podcast on Thursday.
We always do, don't we?
It's coming up.
Look. Jameis Cutter, we were talking about it. Before the podcast, I told you the incredible statistic that the Buccaneers have not had a team that has scored ranked 15th or better, basically in the upper half of the league. They haven't had a team that has scored in the upper half of the league. Even your sage wisdom couldn't come close to an answer. The last time they did that, the correct answer, the last time they did that was 2001. 15th in the league under Father Dungy, and in 2000, they were 6th in the league, and we ran Dungy because he couldn't score any points. It's been poor scoring after poor scoring. That includes John Gruden. And
you know what makes it worse? Looking at teams like the Rams, Sean McVay, Jared Goff, they're averaging 30 points.
Nobody can score. Right now, we're 20th in the league, and it's pretty much been 20th.
Red zone disaster.
Oh.
Disaster.
It was pretty much just as bad last year and the year before. Jameis is at the helm. Cutter's at the helm.
What's the matter? What's going on? Red zone weapons?
You got weapons.
Mike Evans.
They don't know how to use them, obviously.
You know, we got weapons out the ass, really, if you want to just call it what it is. It's bad. Cutter has not been good in the red zone as a – and it's damning. It really is damning. And
Les
Stuckel
was good in the red zone, wasn't he?
And he got fired for his troubles. I said in my column the other day. Look, red zones were terrible on Sunday, but this goes way back. This goes back. It's a problem all season. It was bad before Sunday.
Ira, you just can't spill the beans and walk away from the mess. What troubles did Les Steckel have?
He didn't get along with the staff.
That's what I heard.
Monty Kiffin did him in. I think Monty Kiffin said, you got to bounce this guy.
The lack of scoring, I don't know if that – I think that's the most damning thing for Cutter,
15
really.
15 years? Buck fans are looking at this? 17 years?
15 years.
Crazy.
We can't be in the upper half of the league in scoring?
That's too much, Dad.
That's got to be close to an NFL record.
Can't even be number 15.
That's hard to do. And we're going to bring John Gruden back, who couldn't do it.
And couldn't find a way to bring Antonio Bryant and Galloway on the field at the same time.
Steve, this reminds me. Going into, I believe it was what it turned out to be Gruden's last season. But Gruden had been here 6 years. So it was going into the 08 season. That's right. 6 years. Well, yeah, that's right. Because I made it the same time frame that Dungy coached the Bucks. And I did a big, and I hope Thomas Bassinger is listening, I did a big statistical breakdown on Dungy's 6 years of offense and Gruden's 6 years of offense in all the critical categories.
When you were with the Tampa Tribune.
Yes. Leading, your first category is points,
sure. Obviously.
But, going across the board. And what did I notice?
I don't know.
Dungy's teams average more points.
Ooh.
And it was a stunning statistic. I mean, really, by all accounts.
We might have to dig it up.
Nobody would have thought
that. We might have to dig it up somewhere. I bet it's on
Nobody would have thought that.
Speaking of digging things up, Ira, is Ann Margaret still alive? Is she still alive?
I believe she's still out there. She was on Conan O'Brien last week.
All right. Okay.
Bye-bye, Birdie.
Hopefully you got a cold shower.
The Cincinnati Kid. Carnal Knowledge, one of your favorites over there.
Haven't seen any of them.
Come on.
I'm serious.
You got to get out.
I couldn't pick Ann Margaret out of a lineup. Don't even know what she looks like.
I could pick her out of a lineup, but she's ancient history, man.
All right, hold on.
Ira. Next thing you know, Ira's going to start talking about the Andrews sisters.
Ira. Podbean, Google Play, iTunes. This is where to find your podcast.
Russo later today.
Later today?
Tuesday. Special Tuesday edition.
You don't think he's going to ask me about Dirk Cutter?
Hold on.
I bet he asked you about Gruden.
We can't talk at once here. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Radio, 5
Channel
o'clock.
Channel 82.
There you go. You're talking at the same time.
There you go.
82, Sirius, Ira's on with Chris Mad Dog Russo, especially usually Wednesday. Today it's a Tuesday. And, of course, your podcast Tuesday and Thursday, JoeBucksFan.com. Go back and read Ira's column on Derek Brooks. It's how we started the podcast.
Get him in the building.
Get him in the building. Sage is fired up. And
I don't care what the Kemper says. Get him in the building.
And you're wearing that Sipowitz sweatshirt again.
And Steve, next podcast, we got to make our picks, and then we'll tell you what's going on in the locker room.
All right. I will do what we want to do, right? And we don't know.
If Ann Margaret's in the locker room, we got to start.
If Ann Margaret's in the locker room, someone didn't lock the door at the nursing home. That's fine.
Get out of here, Ira.